Welcome to the Resilient Mind Podcast. In this episode, you will be listening to Reprogram Your Mind by Challenging Your Beliefs with Dr. Joe Dispenza. Get access to the Resilient Mind Journal by clicking the link in the show notes. Enjoy.
We do have beliefs that feel good to us because those beliefs are based on past experiences, and those emotions keep us attached to the belief chemically. It's in our biology. And we tend to think neurologically and feel chemically within experiences then that are connected to the past. So when our beliefs are challenged, we hold on to the emotion, like Jesus had a brother, what? Mm-hmm. That doesn't feel right. He was married to Mary Magdalene, what? People freak out because they've been conditioned and they want to hold on to that because that then ensures a future that they can rely on. When you step out of your belief systems and stepping into the unknown, you are now leaving behind your past. And then, so then you have the faculty and the ability to create. Do you have that ability? If not, because then in order for you to go from that old belief to a new belief, then you better have a plan and you better be willing to have a new experience that is no longer a wishy-washy belief. It has to be a very strong impression in your biology that comes with an accompanying experience that then changes your biology to understand you believe something else. But that's not the end either, because then you have to question from that point, what is the next belief that helps you to understand the next thing? For example, let's talk about it on two levels. And time out here for a second. I don't care. We can go to 11:30 here.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you so much.
It was a good conversation. So think about this. The person in our work who, I'll use a simple example, has a very, very difficult marriage. And her marriage falls apart. Her husband was abusive and lived by the stress hormones for an extended period of time. Of course, all her energy is going for some threat in her external environment. She has no energy in her internal environment for growth and repair. No energy for long-term building projects. The body is in vigilance. It's always anxious. She's anticipating something bad happening all the time. And she's got food allergies to everything. She's allergic to her environment. She comes to the event, she does the work, it takes her 3 months, and all of a sudden, in one event, she has a breakthrough, and she's eating anything she wants. Now, she's changed her belief about her past because she's no longer saying, I am this way because of my relationship with my husband. See, because when you say, I am this way because I had an abusive father, I am this way because I had a difficult marriage, I am this way because I got fired from my job, what you're saying is, I haven't changed since that event emotionally. And so now you're viewing your future through the lens of the past. When you overcome that emotional state, a memory without the emotional charge is called wisdom. Now you're ready to create a new future, because if you're still attached to the emotion, you're still attached to the past, and you can't create a future. Right. So all of a sudden now, the person has a transformation. She has a shift. She knows that she knows that she's liberated from that anxiety. She feels it. And as a result of it, in a matter of moments, Ben, her biology reorganizes to a new mind. And now she's eating. I'm watching her eat pizza. I'm watching her eat a hamburger. She's laughing. It's sustained. But that's not the end. Because if she's healed herself, then the next question is, I understand the physics and biology of what I've done. Is it possible if I heal myself that I can heal another person? Now my belief is being challenged again. Now I'm challenging my current belief. Is it possible? Well, I don't know. I haven't had the experience yet. But if I'm thinking it and I understand the semantic, philosophical, theoretical, intellectual information, can I initiate it? Can I apply it? Can I personalize it? Can I demonstrate it? Can I modify my behavior in some way based on my last experience to have a more evolved experience? And that more evolved experience will be outside of my beliefs currently. But I understand the science, and if I can get my behaviors to match my intentions, and I've done it to myself, and quantum physics says is that consciousness is non-local, well, hell. If I can create a coherent signature here, I should be able to do it in another person. So then when the experience occurs, Now I have more circuitry in my brain that's enriched. I have a new feeling in my body, and I feel like a healer. I already feel like a healer because I've healed myself, but let me see if I can heal someone else. I'm going to bring up that emotion, and it may take me a few times. And I'm telling you, that woman, we did a coherent session where we're healing another person, and the person laying down there was a woman from London who had exposure to a bacteria in India 20 years ago who had food allergies that couldn't overcome that bacteria. And I watched this woman synchronistically, unbeknownst to the woman laying down there, lay a coherent energy in that person's body, and that woman was healed. I had dinner with her in London, and she was eating salmon and rice and everything else, and she said, I don't know what happened, but I got healed. Now, that person who did the healing, her belief was challenged, and because she had the experience, she asked the greater question. So the greater question then led to the next experience, but it's not enough to do it once. You got to be able to repeat that experience. You got to make it scientific.
Right.
You got to get it. You got to make it a skill. And this is where people stop. Like they have the one experience and say, "I'm a healer." No, the fact that you have the experience means you should be able to reproduce that. So then you keep pushing the boundaries of your beliefs. That's called evolution. And so people reach a certain point in their belief systems and they stop. And so I think the problem with a lot of people in the spiritual community is they confuse insight with belief. Like, oh, you know, I have anxiety, so the reason I have anxiety because of a chemical imbalance in my brain, that's what my doctor told me, and I get panic attacks, and I got a panic attack on a plane, and I'm afraid of planes and crowded places, and so now that you know that you have a chemical imbalance in your brain, does it heal your anxiety? No. So then they go to the psychologist, they go to their friend, and their friend says, well, it's not a hardware problem, it's not circuits and molecules and chemicals, it's a software problem. You know, your father was overbearing, he was a perfectionist, and it's a program, and you know, it's from your past. And the person now has the insight that their father was overbearing, does it heal the anxiety? But they will see that as a belief, like my father was overbearing, which they're really saying is, I am this way because of this past experience. So then they go to the psychic, and the psychic says, you were burned at the stake in Carcassonne in the 1500s, you're a charismatic Christian, the memory's burned in your soul. Now that you know that you were a charismatic Christian from the 1500s, a Cathar, a Templar, does it heal your anxiety? No. So then you go to the astrologer, and she says, you know, Mercury's in retrograde, don't leave the house for 6 months, it's the reason the way you are. And so they develop beliefs that are within their emotional acceptance. And so then they build more beliefs within those emotions, which means I still don't want to change. The insight doesn't change anything, because people will only accept, believe, and surrender to beliefs or thoughts that are equal to their emotional state, and they'll program their autonomic nervous system into that destiny. So then you get a diagnosis from a doctor, it creates the emotion of fear, or desperation, you'll only accept, believe, and surrender to the thoughts equal to those emotional states. Until you change your emotional state, is it possible for you then to begin to accept, believe, and surrender to the thoughts equal to a new emotional state and bring up the emotion ahead of the experience? Now we're talking about going against conditioning. If you're not being defined by a vision of the future, then you're left with the old memories of the past and you will be predictable in your life. And if you wake up in the morning and you're not being defined by a vision in the future, as you see the same people and you go to the same places and you do the exact same thing at the exact same time, it's no longer that your personality is creating your personal reality. Now your personal reality is affecting or creating your personality. Your environment is really controlling how you think and feel unconsciously, because every person, everything, every place, every experience has a neurological network in your brain. Every experience that you have with every person produces an emotion. So some people will use their boss to reaffirm their addiction to judgment. They'll use their enemy to reaffirm their addiction to hatred. They'll use their friends to reaffirm their addiction to suffering. So now they need the outer world to feel something. So to change then is to be greater than your environment, to be greater than the conditions in your world. And the environment is that seductive. So then why is meditation the tool? Well, let's sit down, let's close our eyes. Let's disconnect
from your outer environment. So if you're seeing less things, there's less stimulation going to your brain. If you're playing soft music or you have earplugs in, less sensory information coming to your brain. So you're disconnecting from your environment. If you can sit your body down and tell it to stay like an animal, stay right here. I'm going to feed you when we're done. You can get up and check your emails. You can do all your texts. But right now, you're going to sit there and obey me. So then, when you do that properly, and you're not eating anything or smelling anything or tasting anything, you're not up experiencing and feeling anything, you would have to agree with me that you're being defined by a thought, right? So when the body wants to go back to its emotional past, and you become aware that your attention is on that emotion, and where you place your attention is where you place your energy, you're siphoning your energy out of the present moment into the past, and you become aware of that, and you settle your body back down in the present moment, because it's saying, well, it's 8 o'clock, you normally get upset because you're in traffic around this time, and here you are sitting, and we're used to feeling anger, and you're off schedule. Oh, it's 11 o'clock, and you usually check your emails and judge everybody. Well, the body's looking for that predictable chemical state. Every time you become aware that you're doing that and your body is craving those emotions and you settle it back down into the present moment, you're telling the body it's no longer the mind, that you're the mind. And now your will is getting greater than the program. And if you keep doing this over and over again, over and over again, over and over again, just like training a stallion or a dog, it's just going to say, I'm going to sit. And the moment that happens, when the body's no longer the mind, when it finally surrenders, there's a liberation of energy. We go from particle to wave, from matter to energy, and we free ourselves from the chains of those emotions that keep us in the familiar past. And we've seen this thousands of times. In fact, we can actually predict it now on a brain scan. It's so important for people to remember that they're the creators of their lives instead of the victim of their lives, right? Mm-hmm. So the victim is saying, I'm feeling this way because that person or that circumstance or I don't have any money is causing me to feel this way. That's my relationship with money. What that really means is I'm using my lack to reaffirm my dependency, my addiction, my conditioning. That's my relationship with money, is that I put my attention on money because I don't have it. Mm-hmm. So their relationship with money is, of course, built on lack. And so when they don't have it, they feel bad. And what they're really saying is, my outer environment, my reality is actually controlling the way I feel and the way I think. So Lewis, why are you in a good mood today? Things are going good. Why in a bad mood? Things are going bad today. So this unconscious program of victimization is saying that we're allowing our environment to influence the way we feel and the way we think. Isn't that what victimization is? And the stronger the emotion we have to our lack, the more we put our attention on the fact that we don't have it, right? Yeah. So then the person has forgotten that they're creating reality because what they're creating is lack. And they're creating more of it. We generate abundance, right? So then if you have an hour meditation where you're tuning into your abundant future, but then you're spending the other 15 hours a day in lack, don't expect anything to change. You defaulted. Mm-hmm. You're back to the old energy. And if you say it's that person or that circumstance or that bank account, I'm going to say you're back to the unconscious program of being a victim, right? Mm-hmm. So then let's go a step further. If your personality creates your personal reality, and it does, and your personality is made up of how you think, how you act, and how you feel, then the present personality who's listening to this podcast has created the present personal reality called their life. Nothing big there. Which means if you want to change your personal reality, you're going to have to change your personality.
Right.
Nothing changes in your life until you change.
Thank you for tuning in. Continue strengthening your mind by listening to our other episodes.